From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Janine Sanguin is with the Washington State University Bread Lab. Thank you so much, Janine, for being on the Oregon Grapevine.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Bread Lab's an innovator in bringing healthy food and creating kind of a different part of the food system. And I'd like you to talk at the beginning, if you would, just a little about its history and the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thanks so much. So the Bread Lab was started back around 2010 by Dr. Stephen Jones. He had previously been the winter wheat breeder over at the main campus at WSU in Pullman. And he had been working there for a decade or so, maybe more than that. And he became a little disenchanted with kind of the commodity system of wheat and wanted to do something different, and ended up taking a job over on the west side in Mount Vernon, Washington, where we are located right now. We're in Burlington, but nearby. He ended up taking a job in Mount Vernon, Washington, running the research station in the Extension Center. So as the director of NREC, Northwestern Washington Research and Extension Center, Steve Jones said, you know, day one, what do you want me to do here to our local community? Do you want me to work in one of the 80 crops that are grown in this valley? You know, do you want me to work in cabbage, tulips, blueberries? You know, there's a lot grown here. And the folks resoundingly were like, no, we want to keep with wheat. We want to keep with wheat and barley. They were currently farmers instead of on the east side where it's wheat farmers. These were farmers that had to grow wheat, right, as a cover crop for their soil intensive crops like potatoes. But they were losing money, or they were maybe breaking even on a good year, and they wanted to see if more could be done. And so started the Bread Lab, and so started what could be considered a regional grain economy here in Skagit County.
There, I'm assuming, kind of a big difference between growing wheat on the east side and growing wheat or grains on the west side. So was that kind of the beginning of the conversation of how to make that difference make sense?
Yes. So there is a main difference, and I will preface this by saying I am not one of the scientists at the Bread Lab. I am a person tasked with distilling the messaging to most folks about the Bread Lab. So if there are questions I can't answer, Barbara, that are like scientific, Yeah. So I'm also not a pro at growing wheat on the east side, but I do know a little bit. So wheat is typically grown. We grow 2.3 or the last growing season, we grew 2.3 million acres of wheat on the east side of Washington. Okay. 2.3 million acres. It's drier there. The summers are hot and dry, and it makes for a wheat plant that senesces or matures, you know, at an earlier point. And the protein is really high from that that type of environment. Here on the west side, we're wetter, right? More humid. And our growing season is, you know, it's variable, let's say. And we decided we wanted to breed specifically for this maritime climate. So that's the inception of the Bread Lab, was let's see what we can grow the varieties here that they're growing on the east side, but maybe they don't perform the best that they can for these farmers. So it's just not working out in the end. They end up in chicken feed, right? And so how can we produce something that not only is a great green manure, right, is good for the soil as a cover crop, but maybe that we can also harvest and eat in our community? And that was a really important part of what Steve was building, was let's keep the value where it's produced. If we're going to produce these new and novel varieties for this climate and for these growers, let's also eat them in this community. Let's malt them in this community. Let's mill them. Let's bake them. And so that's just what we did.
And of course, it goes without saying, you are a bread lab. So you're not just a wheat lab, but you're actually a bread lab.
Right.
So how does that bread become bread, beyond the obvious that you bake it in an oven? But how does it become bread? And then does it get disseminated to people besides outside of the labs?
So that's a great question. So we're called the Bread Lab. And one of the reasons we're called the Bread Lab is because in Steve Jones's previous lab as a wheat breeder, they weren't actually eating the wheat that they were developing, right? They were looking for specific targets, right? And we want one that works well agronomically, high yielding, disease resistant, pest resistant, big grain with a big endosperm that makes a lot of white flour, okay, for export. That's essentially what the program was doing at the time. And so here the difference was, let's develop new and novel varieties for these growers in this area. Okay, that's the beginning. Let's also make them for 100% whole grain uses. So we're not targeting just for a giant endosperm. We want it high yielding, but we also want it something that tastes good when we mill it at 100% whole grain, not making white flour. And we also want to see how it performs. So what sets us apart, or set us apart in the very beginning anyway, was we're breeders who bake. So we breed the varieties, we grow them out, we harvest them, clean them, and we bring them back to our lab. Our lab has all the science equipment that you would want to perform tests and analysis on different wheats and other grains, but also we're a bakery. So we have ovens, we have mills, we have a mill room, we have some cleaning equipment, so we can bring it back and we can mill into a nice flour. And then we have a bakery with ovens, proofers, mixers, benches to fold and shape your bread on. And we actually produce the whole grain loaves, and cookies and pies and pizzas and anything you can think of that contains these grains. And that was great. And we did that for many years and it worked well. And we knew what did well. What was missing, when I showed up anyway, was an outlet to get more whole grains to more people. And we were doing workshops when I arrived here at the lab 6 years ago, but they were doing workshops, which was great. So the community could come in and learn from bakers from around the world. And it was awesome. And they sold out really quickly and they were really engaging. But what we wanted was, how do we get more whole grains into more households? And I think that's through actually making it and providing the public an opportunity to come purchase the loaves of bread, right? For a long time, what they were doing here was doing test bakes or bakes for good, meaning producing a bunch of loaves of bread and then giving them to food banks or shelters, transitional houses. But there was some feedback on that where it came to pass that people weren't always taking the bread because it didn't seem approachable, right? It was maybe a rustic hearth loaf that a lot of people who are coming into a food pantry or transitional house maybe don't own a bread knife, right? Or maybe just a way to like cut into a crusty loaf of bread, and they were looking for sandwich bread. So we listened and we started producing a sandwich loaf called the Approachable Loaf that's 100% whole grain. We still make it to this day, and we partner with a bunch of folks across the US and world who also produce this loaf of bread. And we also started doing here, besides giving to food shelters and pantries, which we still do, we have pop-up bakeries where we produce different loaves of bread. We bring in guest bakers sometimes and they produce different loaves of bread or other products. And we invite the public to come, and it's a fundraiser for the lab, right? But mostly, more than making, we're not looking to make money on people. We just want more people to try 100% whole grain, because you may buy breads that have whole grains in them, which is great. I'm stumped for 10%, 15%, whatever it is, but a whole grain, 100%, is a whole different thing. So we want to make people more aware of what it is, how great it can taste. So that's one thing we do. We also started doing something called toast bars, which are super fun. And a toast bar is where we make a bunch of whole grain bread. We pre-slice it and it's out, and folks come in, $10 at the door. It's all you can eat toast with all different spreads. And we put toasters everywhere. So it's DIY. And for us, I think perhaps as much as getting people to try whole grains and more fiber in their diets, it's to provide community. So people can come in and just kick back and hang out, eat nutritious, delicious food. It's great market research for us when you think about it, because we get immediate feedback. It's great to sell people a loaf of bread, but then when they bring it home, you can't listen to their conversation. When they're sitting in the lab eating toast, I get to engage and find out what people want and what more do they want. At one of our first toast bars, which was in October, A couple women were here and they were like, "You work with buckwheat," because we work with many grains, not just wheat. And I'm like, "Yes, we do." And they were just talking about, "Do you have maybe a gluten-free like a buckwheat?" And I was like, "We don't here." I had some in the freezer from our friend up at Raven Bakery in Bellingham, Sophie. So I let them try some of her bread. They loved it. And I decided from that, okay, we need to make 100% buckwheat bread. And I went to it and I made an approachable loaf at 100% buckwheat. And it's a hit. And it'll be a standard here now so that we can be even more inclusive. Because while we started, of course, as a wheat breeding program in Pullman, we now work with wheat, barley, buckwheat, spelt, perennial grain, and quinoa.
I'm still dreaming about the toast bar. My husband would be in heaven at a toast
Yeah.
bar.
Those are great. We just talked to the folks over like, what else should we have? We do like a section that's avocado toast so people can make avocado toast. We have salami and cheese, tons of like, we do vegan options, vegetarian options. It's really, for me, it's a joy because it's 3 hours of, it's 9 to 12. So it's 3 hours of kind of watching people enjoy our research in real time, and they talk, and I get to hear like, and no feedback is negative feedback. Like, even if it's constructive criticism, even if it is negative, we're researchers, man. So it's like, you tell us what you want, we're gonna grow from it. So it's been a really fun, positive experience. I think one we're gonna continue doing for sure.
From a more kind of global view or a larger view, I know part of what you're doing besides creating this amazing product and giving it to people has to do with the whole issue of affordable food and
Yes.
food deserts and food availability and that and sustainability. Talk a little about the lab's place in that.
Yeah, so I can speak from a very personal place on affordability. So when I started at the lab, I am a real bottom line person. I am a mom with three daughters at home. When I started, they were really young. Now they're still kind of young. But as a mom with three daughters, you're really thinking about, I want to feed them the best food possible. Two, I've got a budget, right? And I'm a pretty privileged woman. I was given a lot as a child. My parents provided so much for me. I still feel priced out of, I was feeling priced out of all the wholesome whole foods. Local regional became boutique, right? And when did that happen? And I think a big part of why I started working here is because I'd never heard someone speak to the idea of local regional food actually being affordable. I don't think we're there yet. And I'm never going to say we're going to solve that, just like we're not going to solve the climate crisis with perennial grain. We're one part in a big group of people trying to make nutritious, delicious, affordable, healthy food, right? One way we're tackling that is, of course, with the breeding side. Right. So we're trying to breed these grains that are healthy, right? That taste really good, not at the expense of yield. So we do still want to make a crop that does well. We want it agronomically to perform well because I think we love ancient heritage grains. It's especially if it's a part of your food culture. And it's really interesting when you think about historically speaking, these grains being passed down for many, many, many hundreds of years. That said, sometimes some of those older grains don't perform great agronomically, right? Not in all places. So we try, our whole breeding program is to try to breed things that, grains that perform well, taste great at 100% whole grain, and make a heck of a good product across the board, right? So it's a big, lofty goal. I think affordability does, in a lot of ways, start with yield. It also starts with, we have the benefit of being a research institution and not a bakery. So I have all these ideas personally as Janine, like, let's keep the price low. Let's keep the price low. Let's give it away almost for free. We want people to eat whole grains. But then when you talk to our baker friends that are doing this for a living and trying to make maybe a living for their families, you really have to think about what it costs, the time. And so it's hard for us to set these prices for people. We have something called the Bread Lab Collective, where we did just that for the approachable loaf. It's a collective of people from and bakeries and educational programs, mills that all teach or bake the approachable loaf. And we set a price at $6 or under. Well, we really quickly realized that a lot of those bakers were like, we can't do that in our communities. Now, some can, but some said we just frankly couldn't. So we're going to reshape the collective, make it more inclusive to more people, different whole grain options, and be a highlighting, on our website, right, and our Instagram, highlight all these places where folks can get whole grains. And I think also a way to make things more affordable in the long run is to get more people interested, right? So the more we can show people what's out there, the more we can explain how good whole grains can be, the more buy-in we get people, the more prevalent they become, the more affordable they become. But it is a long-term goal, but one that we're never going to give up. It's really important.
Talk a little too about the place of soil regeneration and healthy soil and that place in terms of the crops that you're creating and not necessarily creating, but growing. Is that part of the research that's being done? Is making.
Not so not at the bread lab. So here's how I'll say it. So the bread lab is our plant breeders, right, who bake. So we breed new and novel varieties of grains, and then we bake with them and create products at 100% whole grain. We work very closely with soil scientists. So we are a part of USDA grant. We're in the 5th year, I believe, of 5 now, and it's called the Soil to Society Grant. And it's a collaborative grant that includes soil scientists, plant breeders, food scientists, gut microbiome lab over in Spokane, part of WSU. It includes an education portion, all this research going in how does soil health affect human health in all those stages along the way. So while we aren't the soil scientists, we work very closely with soil scientists to undercover, just how important that health is on the grains that we produce, right? And we're getting in the stages where we're coming up with evidence. But I won't speak to those exact things right now because honestly, off the top of my head, I don't have them. But the Soil to Society work that Kevin Murphy, he's our current director of the Bread Lab, Kevin Murphy, has been doing the Soil to Society pipeline for 12 years. Okay, so this is work he's been working on for. He's a super collaborative person. It's such an honor to work that way with so many different folks. So this Soil to Society work that he started, has been championing, has been pushing through, created the gut microbiome lab at Spokane's campus. Now we're going to keep that going. So as the Soil to Society grant ends, we're actually phasing into another. We were just awarded a Washington Research Foundation bioinnovation grant, where we're going to continue that research kind of writ large. So not only soil health, human health, right? We are creating products under that. We're commercializing our work so that we can get all of this research turned into products that can go into your home. All that to say, it's a pretty long answer to say we know that soil health is extremely important for growing our crops, but in about a year or so, we're going to have exact data as to why.
I think it's really easy for those of us who are not in the research scientific world to kind of say, why are they giving all these grants? How does this really affect me? And do I really care? And yeah, okay, maybe a drug will come out or something. And it's really wonderful, first of all, just fantasizing about eating bread. But I also know that, for instance, Cougar Gold Cheese, which is also a Washington State University product, is out there. And I wonder if there are other kind of universities around the world or around the country who are doing kind of similar ideas of getting the research that people are doing practically out to the community, either in a product or in a way to say, this is tangibly why this matters.
It's hard for me to answer that only because partly I don't know, and partly I think I really do because I don't know every program out there. But I also know that nobody, I don't think, is quite working the way we are on commercialization of products. Because what we want to do, it's really unique, the Bread Lab. So the Bread Lab, it's been fascinating since Kevin Murphy started as our director. He has these amazing grants that he's a part of, it and these grants, sometimes they're federal, sometimes they're private philanthropic organizations like WRF. I just applied for one on behalf of the lab, and we were granted a significant sum to start community school at the Bread Lab. So we have this funding that we chase after, right? But I think what we do, okay, so yes, we do have a partner, the Land Institute down in Kansas. We work very closely with on perennials. So on our perennial wheat program, we're working very closely with one of their scientists and researchers down there in Kansas. They actually trademarked something called Kernza, and they do have a program doing that. So there are other programs out there really working to commercialize their work and get them out. I think why the Bread Lab is so interesting is our real approachability and our kind of reach as far as maybe our social media accounts, and the fact that we host events where people can come in and really try the research. We had a buckwheat fest this past summer. Okay. So you can come in and try the things that, we get out buckwheat to different participants. We had a tasting that a lot of our community could come and join at a lower cost than the whole fest. It's really important for us to make things inclusive. We're going to have a grain gathering this summer, which will be very similar. It'll be a 3-day event where people can come to the whole thing, but we're going to have one party part of it where it's going to be a huge tasting so people can try quinoa in a different way, buckwheat in a different way, right? Hopefully wheat in a new way, even. We've been eating wheat for a long time, but like, let's see how we can do things differently. So I think that's one thing that definitely sets us apart. And as far as the commercialization, and it's such a big word, it's really just how do we get more whole grains into more homes? That's what it is. We're just getting started. I think we've come really far, but in a lot of ways, we're just getting started. I do think we're unique in that way that you're going to see. When I first started here, I said, I want to get the Bread Lab logo in a shopping market where my mom in New York can buy it, right? I want her to see it on a shelf. And we did that. We worked with our longtime partner, King Arthur Baking Company, and they produced a flour called the Climate Blend. I don't know that they're making it anymore at this point, but they did produce one limited, like a limited release climate blend that was grown using regenerative farming practices in the northern plains of the US, and milled at one of their mills. But it was our varieties, which when I started here, our varieties are non-commodity. They don't, they would be kind of quote rejected, right? Because they're colorful. They just don't hit the specs that commodity grains typically do. But we did it, and we had our logo in bags across the US at Whole Foods markets. And, the next goal would be let's do it again. Let's try again. Let's do it over and over so we can keep those prices going down and more people can enjoy our grains.
What inspires you to do this work, Janine?
So, my inspiration for this work is manyfold. In some ways, I would say, I mean, the Bread Lab changed my life a huge amount. I grew up on a farm in northern New York. My grandparents had a dairy next door. My parents run a maple operation and Christmas tree farm. I grew up, in that sort of world, talking about milk prices in the morning at my grandparents' kitchen table. So that definitely influences me wanting to be in the ag world. I'm also an enthusiastic home baker. My first career was in television production, and I spent a decade in Southern California working on, TV shows and the like and commercials. I think through all of that, the threads are creativity, agriculture, and food accessibility. I'll go back to being a mom with three kids. You want to feed your kids the best thing you can. You want to know that it's healthy. And I was kind of, as this, 40-year-old woman once upon a time, thinking I knew a lot, right? And I'm feeding them the best stuff. And I'm taking the word of all these companies, right? And I thought they've got my interest in, they've got my best interest in mind. And I learned that they don't always, in fact, the majority of the time. And I wanted to be a part of something that does have those interests in mind. And working for the Bread Lab, and for this program, and in collaboration with a lot of other programs, universities, and food makers across the US and world, frankly, the group of people I work with does have your best interests in mind. We do want to make food that tastes good, is good for you, and that everyone can afford. That's what we want to do.
Any last thoughts? Anything we've skipped here that you think people want to know about the Bread Lab, or have we kind of covered it?
People can follow us on our Instagram. Following us on Instagram is, we're not doing a bunch of we don't do a ton of content. I'm not looking for you to scroll, 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 but it is a good way to stay. Following us on Instagram is a good way to know what kind of events we're going to do next. And also, we try to sprinkle some educational material in there for people and a lot of pretty pictures. So, following us on Instagram, it's WSU underscore bread underscore lab. Or just sign up for our mailing list if you're local to our region, which probably a lot of your listeners are. You can come to an event and we try to keep them up to date. We're redoing our website, so that's taking a minute, but we just appreciate people tuning in. So we'd love for more and more folks to come up and join us for an event. And also, if anybody has any questions on whole grains, I'm super gettable. You can find me on our website, Janine Sanguine, and I answer crazy questions all the time from bakers who are mid-bake. So we're there for you. If you're working with whole grains and you've got some questions, you can reach out.
I love the idea of the Instagram. I wish there was a situation with like tasting or oral or something smelling connection so that I could pretend I was at your toast.
I
But
know.
not yet.
Well,
We aren't
we're
there
working on
yet.
that. We're working on that. Yeah, well, come see us sometime,
I
Barbara.
will. Thanks so much,
Yeah, thank
Janine
you.
Sanguine, for being on the Oregon Grapevine and for the work you do, and I look forward to hearing more.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.